is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720 967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
And what a weekend. Welcome along to the show. I'm Steve Hoversaw. The Reds running riot at the Bridge. The Blues a step ahead at Goodison as Sunderland are absolutely humiliated. Coutinho, Kone, Benteke, De La Feu. Who's your hero from the weekend? You can get in touch with the lads over the next hour. 0151 4720 967. That's 4720 967. You can tweet us at Radio City Talk. And it's Sharpie and Aldo who are in the studio with us this evening. Guys, who were the heroes from the weekend? We'll start with you, John. Stamford Bridge, who stood out for you?
Well, yeah, Coutinho scored a couple of goals, didn't he? You know, he gets all the plaudits. But there was much more to the performance. There was some real good performances by individual players. But you'd expect Coutinho with getting the two goals to come out on top. He actually was talking to Sharpie there before his goal in the first half. He wouldn't have knew that he was on the pitch, really. Because he even actually come out and said at the end of the game, didn't he? You know, what we know, he's not had a great season. We've seen he's not had a good season at all. But, you know, hopefully that will inject some confidence in him and we'll start seeing the best of him. Because the two goals, you know, in a win at Stamford Bridge doesn't pick you up, then nothing will.
I mean, you watched the game, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I thought Liverpool did well. I thought Liverpool did well. I thought they deserved to win. I was a little bit worried when they never started with like a what we call a recognised centre forward. And I'm thinking, hold on a minute, how are they going to go with this? But, you know, going down so early, you know, and you're thinking, oh, anything can happen here. But no, I thought Liverpool grew into the game and I thought they were decent. I thought the movement was decent. And then he brought Benteke on at the right time. But no, I thought it was a well-deserved victory.
The goal was a great time for us. Right, Mourinho's got his half-time team talk there. He's waiting for the 2 minutes to elapse. He's ready to go down the tunnel and then bang, that's out the window. That team talk's gone. He's got to change. He's got to do something else. But when that went in, I knew we were going to win the game. I just knew.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I'm 5 minutes extra time played.
You know, sometimes it's a mad thing to say, but sometimes you can score too early in games, can't you? You know, especially with Chelsea, they didn't capitalise on it. They got in front, and it was just they were just very ordinary.
They didn't really threaten all, did
no,
they?
No, not at all. No, they didn't step up. You know, at all, and we kept the ball really well. You know, and all the stats show we had 58% possession. We had 7 corners to their 1. Even though our 7 corners were still very, very poor, Steve, we had to say, you know, more shots on goal, more shots off goal, because as chaps, we thoroughly deserved the win.
Yeah, wanted it more, outfought them. And Coutinho afterwards, his manager said, who can't love him? Well, Sharpie maybe can't love him. Is anyone in your team?
Let me tell you, I think he's a good player, but I agree with John. I didn't think he was influential in the game at all. And then he scores a goal, and with that comes confidence. And then he came into it. But I thought, you know, Liverpool outpassed them, outplayed them, kept the ball better. Costa, shadow of himself. The only one for them who I think could take any credit from the game was Willian, I thought was outstanding for them. I thought he's a good footballer. John Terry looked shot.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hazard. Yeah. What's happened with him? Yeah.
It just looks...
Should be called haphazard.
Yeah, but they look and tell you about what's gone wrong there, and it just looks as if some of them are giving up on the manager.
So, yeah. Yeah,
did you see those quotes, Sharpie, from apparently one of the players had said, I don't want to win the game if it's winning for Mourinho or something like that.
I think that'd be a strange one.
Was it Richardson off the radio was come out and presumably said that he'd spoke to
a player. Who would that player be?
Mm.
What about the Blues? Brilliant win. A 2-2. Did you honestly think it was going to be 6-2?
Yeah, I thought it was 7-8.
You thought they were that bad, Sunderland?
They were dreadful. And honestly, I know when you go to press conferences afterwards and listen to managers afterwards and you go away shaking your head thinking, I've watched a totally different game there. You know, I must be wrong here. But as the game was progressing, I was sitting next to Graham Stewart and we were just shaking our head thinking, how bad are Sunderland? How bad? So 2-0, you're cruising, concede one right at the end of the first half and you think, uh-oh, been here before. They get the second, you know, good header from Fletcher. Was I worried? Not really, because I just thought there was more goals to be had because defensively, they never had a clue. And they tried to play three centre-backs. Wes Brown, a talk about John Terry being shot, Wes Brown was found wanting, and they just had no drive, passion, desire, anything. And they're fighting for their lives, and they were dreadful. Credit to Everton, credit to Coney, he got a hat-trick, a really good hat-trick as well. But I would have been bitterly disappointed if we didn't take anything but 3 points from that one.
The finishing was good, Evans.
Yeah,
finishing was good. To score six goals is not easy against any team. And I agree with you. I watched the game. They were really poor at the back. But, you know, he still got six goals and do well taken. Coney, you know, was excellent, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's had a lot of stick and, you know, it hasn't really happened for him. But the one thing he's always had is his touch has been good. He's not had the mobility because he had a bad knee injury, but changed it a little bit, and he was playing further forward alongside Lukaku, and the two of them, you know, gave them a few problems. But Lukaku was quiet. You know, he took his goal really well. You know, and a great ball for the last goal. What a ball with outside his foot.
Brilliant.
For Coney, kind of thing. But Coney was impressive. You know, everybody was raving about De La Feo as well. But Coney, for me, stole the show.
Yeah, I love watching the Blues win as well. Mm-hmm. I thought just Kone's expression when he scored his hat-trick was superb, because you can see what he's been through to get to that point. And let's face it, beginning of the season, he was almost getting jeered, wasn't he?
Well, it was.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I doubt you two have ever been in the position where you've been sort of jeered by your own fans. Shows a lot of mental strength,
not
doesn't it?
Not in the warm-up.
Let's take our first caller to the legends. Welcome along if you just joined us on the show this evening. Success for the Blues and Reds. Aldo and Sharpie in the studio. And first up on the line, we've got Laura, who's in Arrow Park. Everton fan. Hiya, Laura.
Hiya, you're right.
Hi, Laura.
Hiya. I'm like Little Miss Positivity on all social medias and everything. I'm out there, you know, and I just want to talk about all the positives. I mean, even yesterday, it's frustrating. We've still got some fans who are, you know, complaining when you're winning 6-2.
Yeah.
And we've just all got to get behind the team. You know, I went along with the hundreds and thousands of others to Howard's funeral on Thursday. And if you didn't come away from that anything less than inspired, then, you know, it inspired me, all the stories that you heard and everything. We all want better. We all want better for our club, and we all want to see, you know, trophies and everything. I'm only 33. I was born in 82, so I've not seen a lot. But, you know, I've still had my season ticket for 15 years plus. I've brought my son up, who's nearly 15 now. He's a mad Evertonian. He's had his season ticket since he was four. I want the days for him, and, you know, we all want that. But being negative all the time and moaning about this and moaning about that is just not going to get us anywhere. We've really got to get behind the team.
Laura, I think even on Saturday, I think, you know, the first cross that came in and the ironic cheers, Tim Howard caught it. Now, he's been getting stick, you know, and you're thinking, come off it. You know, he saved us in a couple of occasions as well. So, yeah, OK, everybody makes mistakes, but I just thought on Saturday, I thought, now the crowd need to get behind us. They need to get behind us. And I thought, you know, at the start at 2-0, everybody was fine. Okay, there were still a few moans and groans when the ball probably didn't go forward quick enough. But when it got to 2-2, I thought, wow, this could go either way here. And it was fortunate, and we got ahead 3-2 and then scored in quick succession. But I agree with you. I think and I've said it last week and I've said it the week before, yes, the crowd have to see something happening on the pitch. I fully understand that. But when the team's struggling, they need a little bit of help. And that's when I think that the fans can do their bit. I think against Norwich, in extra time and penalties, I thought the fans were back to their best. And listen, we all know they want to see this sort of football and that sort of football. But when we're struggling, I think it's important everybody sticks together. So I agree with you 100% there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're not going to win 6-2 every week.
No.
So, you know, we take the days like yesterday and just enjoy them. I know I certainly enjoyed it last night, hearing my voice.
Yeah, and Laura, if you had to give a man of the match, you know, who would it have been?
I think, to be honest with you, Lukaku's, again, had some stick this season, but I think watching him game after game, he's so strong at the moment. He's really doing a great job for us. De La Feo was brilliant, you know, Kone, obviously. There was a lot of them. I don't think Coleman's quite himself at the moment, but I think he's been ill, hasn't he, in the week that he'd said. So.
Were you a little bit surprised to see Oviedo play instead of Galloway?
I don't know. No, really, to be honest with you, I think it was good to give him his chance. I feel so sorry for that lad. He's so unlucky.
Yeah.
You know, he's a lovely lad. We're all in the Winslow singing his name, chanting away his name. tweeted him the video, and he was so humble. He was messaging us back, going, "Oh, thank you. It means so much. I hope he gets a bee. I really do."
Yeah, he came off. Yeah, he just went off. I think with a hamstring strain, so we don't know the severity of that yet. But hopefully, it's not too bad. But no, it's great to see him back. But no, listen. Laura, keep the flag flying.
Can I just give a little tiny plug? Yesterday we were collecting a lot, you'll have seen in the news in the last week, to Speedo Mick. He's doing a great thing, and we raised a lot of money yesterday in the Winslow, so thank you to everyone who donated there.
Brilliant.
And if they want to keep donating, go on to his Just Giving page, which is Michael Cullen.
Laura, just explain Speedo Mick, what's that?
You mean to say you've not seen him?
No.
Oh, where have you been hiding?
What are you, a pair of Speedos on?
Yeah.
And what's he doing?
He strips off every game.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he have it all on himself?
Where's it? Which stands
here? Pictures of him.
It's all over
the
place.
The ground,
yeah, it's all over the place.
Speedo Mick.
He goes to different grounds, does he, around the country, does he?
Yeah. Speedo Mick. And how long has he been doing this, Laura?
Last season. He swam the channel last year for the Woodlands Hospice.
Right.
It's an amazing charity, absolutely amazing charity. I support it in any way I can. And he's just, as you do, getting stripping off every game.
Well, well done for his fundraising anyway. Yeah. I'm not sure I want to see a picture of Speedo Mick.
No.
Or Speedo Aldo. No,
I think we should
send
Big Dave on a Speedo trip.
Speedo Dave. Oh.
Maybe you could become the woman's version, the lady's version of it, maybe.
Right, and on that point, Laura. Well,
yeah. What do you think, Laura?
Parks ready for that.
We'll leave you alone.
Cheers, Laura.
Cheers, love.
Thank you very much indeed. Her voice is still red raw from that game yesterday. A lot of shouting. I don't know anything about this Speedo Mick character.
He's been around for a couple of years now,
And changes seats. And
And just strips off when he's got like a... one of those stupid swimming hats on and on.
Right, bit of a cult hero. Let's get back to the lines. Paul's a Liverpool fan. He's in Aintree this evening. Welcome to the legends, Paul. You okay?
Okay, boys. Yeah,
Paul.
Yeah.
Hi, right, mate.
Yeah. Thanks for putting me on after there.
Speedo Paul.
Speedo Paul. Yeah. Just a couple of things for John.
Yeah, go on, Paul. Yeah.
Bit of a happier place at the moment. The last two performances, I thought of. I was trying to get on Friday, but feels like you're just coming on after a good win against Chelsea. But I actually thought we were good against Bournemouth as well.
Yeah, we were all right. There's some nice little signs there, yeah.
Because, you know, and four players I'd just like to give a mention to, John. Firmino looks like he's hitting form.
Yeah.
Coutinho, that'll do him the world of good.
Yeah.
Jordan Ibe. I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right, yeah.
And do you know who else, John? I thought he was man of the match.
Sacco.
His partner, Skirtle.
Yeah.
I caught Skirtle. Sackle's been playing well. I'm talking about they were four players that have been struggling.
Fair comment. That's a good comment because I totally agree with you. They have been struggling. Jordan Ibe, you know, lost his confidence, and then he was asked to play left wing back, which I don't know what that was all about. And I think that was the last straw for him. But since the new manager's come in, when he's been asked to come on, he's looked very lively and very positive. And that's good to see because I think this lad's got a big future. I really do. Coutinho, again, as we said before, he's had a poor season. You know, we all know what he can give you. But Saturday should, you know, enlighten him an awful lot. Firmino, again, showing signs. He done well against Bournemouth in particular. I think he struggled a little bit on Saturday, but he was asked to play a different role. You know, in the first half, he was the man up top, which I don't know if he's played that many times. He looked a little bit lost. He was coming deep, and we're playing 4-6 north at times. But you know, he just got on with it. He didn't moan. You know, Skirtle, I agree. You know, he's been up and down this year, but that's Saturday was his best game. Yeah,
he loves a scrap, doesn't he, against Costa?
Yeah,
we've had a little bit of previous, haven't we, with internationals as well. So he loved that scrap.
And again, Steve was saying he'd done well not to to react to Costa. The only thing I would say, every other 10 of the Chelsea players, if that was them, they'd have been rolling round for about 10 minutes to try and get one of themselves, because that's how they do it. That's how they work. But fair play to Skirtle. You know, he turned the other cheek and, you know, he let Costa get away with it.
John, another thing and all, you know, it's fascinating me the last couple of games. I know it's only early days. I'm actually loving watching us when we haven't got the ball. I think we're fascinating to watch without the ball, you know. They're hunting like little packs of twos and threes, and they're forcing teams to give you the ball back. And once we improve with the ball, then, you know, the signs are really positive.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there watching us, loving it when we haven't got the ball.
When we didn't have the ball, I noticed with Brendan, we had the back four, and then the midfield were not rigid in any way. They were like one there, one over there, one. Mm. But when we haven't got the ball with him, he's worked on midfield, getting back and getting into a unit.
So yeah, it's
4-5-1, and we're protecting the back four better. Better than we have done for a long, long time. Thus, we've conceded goals for fun over the last 3 or 4 years. But with him, he's obviously getting the starting position. When you lose the ball, protect your back four. Yeah. You know, and I did like him coming out at the end of the game. You know, it was like a breath of fresh air saying, good win, we deserved it, but we can be better. Yeah. Rather than going, we were brilliant, we were this, we were that. We weren't. You know, we done well, we got what we deserved. But he's right, it was good. But not fantastic. And he said, we can do better and we will do better. I like to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know what else I love about him, John? Getting on that pitch at the end of the game.
He's
just as made up as the supporters and the players.
It's
he's
nice to all see.
Over his play. It's great. It's great
nice
for
to see. Yeah, no, it's nice to see. You know, it's unified. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Paul, great to hear from you.
Cheers, Paul. Yeah, you know, you got to get a good sound. I think that's 10 or 11 games unbeaten. I know we've had loads of draws, but... You know, that's a nice sign, you know, that we're going unbeaten.
It's a starting point, John, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Great call.
Cheers, Paul, all the best.
Good to hear from you. You touched on Skrtel there. I think that was majestic what he did, because he could have got the player sent off. There's not many players in the Premier League in this era who are quite happy to just brush something like that off. Mm. Most of them would be rolling around all over the place saying send him off. So fair play. And Sharpie mentioned those two. There's no love lost, is there, between those two?
Well, they've had issues in the past, some of the internationals. I remember Spain and Slovakia, they had the problem as well. But Matt Skrtel's not going to back down, you know, to Costa. I think Costa in his first season bullied a lot of people, you know, and took people by surprise. But I think it's a case of now is, hey, we know what you're all about. You know, we're going to fight you as well. And it's as simple as that, you know. And Skrtel and Sacco are big lads who can handle themselves. So I thought they handled him well. But he's not the player. He's had injury problems and everything else. And he's not the same player.
They've got a few, now, haven't they?
It's flat there, you know. And he's talking about two more games to get the bullet. But there's something not. And let me tell you, he should be fined for his interview afterwards.
Yeah.
Because that was scandalous. So if he's in a bad mood, his fans want to hear him speak about how his team played afterwards and all
totally
that.
Totally embarrassing, Sharpie.
Yeah, it's not just about when you're winning trophies that you speak to. In the bad times as well, you need to speak. And the fact that the way he acted after the game, and I like him, don't get me wrong, I have a lot of time for him, but I thought, what are you doing there? Just answer the question and just say, yeah, we were beaten by the better team on the day, things are not going right, blah, blah, blah. But the way he was just kind of throwing little things in, trying to deflect it a little bit.
Rise to it, haven't you?
Yeah,
rise above it,
exactly.
You know, to become, you know, the person that people want.
Scrambled, isn't it, John? And you and Sharpie, you've been in pressurised managerial
absolutely,
situations.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's as though he wants to be sacked.
At times you don't want to come out and speak to the press, but
you've got to do it.
That's part and parcel of your job. Not just when he wants to. When things are all going well and all, you're the best manager in the world. No problem. I'll speak to you any day you want to phone me. Now, when he's up against it, shows you the character of the man. And the recent events he's been involved in, cracking up.
Well, Jürgen did speak to the press. This is what one German interviewer had to ask him in the press conference afterwards.
Jürgen, considering this win today and considering that you're going to face Man City in 2 weeks, do you think that your team is already ready to fight for the league?
To fight for what?
For the league, for winning the league.
Oh, please. Are you crazy? I was hoping that I don't understand the question.
It's great that. I wish I didn't understand the question.
Sometimes you have to think of the questions as well. Some of the interviewers, not seeing you, Steve, but some questions you get asked at times are mad. Yeah.
When you were managers, when you went into a press conference, was there always one you were looking at, thinking they're going to ask me the most ridiculous question?
You always knew the one, there was always one.
But you don't want to name them.
No, that'd be unfair.
You just come in and you just go in and go, oh, it's coming. I know he's going to come up with something here ridiculous. Yeah, and it. 9 times out of 10, bang.
It does. Right, it's Radio City Legends. You can get involved with the lads, 0151 4720967, 4720967, at Radio City Talk on the Twitter, and we're back shortly.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
And of course you are welcome to get involved. I'm Steve Hoversall. 5 to 7, Aldo and Sharpie in the studio. 4720967, 0151 4720967, or tweet us at Radio City Talk. Of course, Everton hit 6 at the weekend. Not often Everton put 6 past a side. But when did this happen? Sharpie, cast your mind back, see if you can give us a year.
Arteta into Pienaar. Pienaar inside the box, trying to pull it back, takes a deflection. Yakubu has the simple task of completing the perfect hat-trick once again. Yakubu on the end of the deflected ball in, his second hat-trick in a blue shirt. He smiles with Andy Johnson. Pienaar central for Johnson. Johnson, 25 yards from goal, shoots, what a goal! Absolutely fantastic from Andy Johnson. That is a brilliant strike. And that does confirm Everton's biggest ever victory in Europe. It is 6-1 on the night.
I'll give you a little clue. Biggest victory in Europe. Yeah.
2008.
Someone's cheating through the window there. I can hear that in the corner of my headphone. Oh, no, there.
I never got headphones on, look. I never had headphones on.
Oh, you've got Big Dave out here, the producer, and Lizzie who spills tea on you.
Yeah,
and they're both mouthing something. No. 2008, and the team Everton were facing was SK Brann. Everton 6, SK Brann 1.
Remember it.
When Everton scored 6 yesterday, I was thinking to myself, I'm sure I did a game with Sharpie where Everton battered Sunderland, and it was 1999. I mean, you did a game where Boxing Day 99, Don Hutchison scored 5-0 against Sunderland. So maybe
I'm getting old.
You are losing it a bit.
I am.
Sunderland are the whipping boys against Everton, aren't
they? No, they won the last 3 at Goodison.
Is that right?
Sunderland had won the last 3 at Goodison. Yeah. So, but listen, they've only won them yesterday because let me tell you, whoever's got Sunderland next week will be rubbing their hands because
think they're goners.
Listen, I was going into that game thinking Sam Allardyce team, defensively they'll be strong. They won't try and commit men forward. They'll knock it long to Fletcher. And Defoe, I thought, played well yesterday. I must admit that. I thought he was lively. And they brought on a young kid near the end who looked good as well. Scored a few goals. Name escapes me at the moment. Scored a few goals in reserves. He looked decent.
Watmore,
that's him, Steve. He looks decent. But defensively, they were all over the place. It just was so unlike a Sam Allardyce team. They were hopeless, and Jack Rodwell came on, the Catamol went off injured kind of thing, but honestly they were dreadful, absolutely. So will they go down? If they don't improve on that performance, I would say that performance, yes, but I'd expect Sam Allardyce to change things out. John O'Shea's out injured, I think he'll be a big player for him, but on yesterday's performance, they are in serious trouble.
Sebastian Quatters, I don't know whether you... What do you think of him now, John?
He scored an own goal.
Lose him.
But do you remember it's a knockout years ago, them big massive puppets that used to run, three fellas, and it was like that yesterday, wasn't he? He scored an own goal, didn't he?
Lukaku scored it on the day, but it was him.
Just going off the subject a little bit, worried about Tranmere's home form as well. They seem to be doing well away from home, but getting beat by Dover at home, the weekends... It's a big blow, really big blow to.
They're having an up and down season, aren't they?
Yeah, I was there on Friday night with the chairman and his wife, and the club is running brilliantly. Mm. It's absolutely brilliantly. They put all new seating. The stadium looked fantastic. The pitch, everything, and the one thing they've got a problem with, I think, teams go there now from that division going, this is a massive club. It's inspiring to go there, and and try and beat Tranmere Rovers because you know got a big name compared with nearly all the teams in that league. So it's a bit worried. Big worry. They've got to turn their home form round.
Still up there, aren't they? They're in the top of the
still
team.
Okay.
Yeah, still okay. But they need
still
to start
okay.
getting a run of games.
They need the home away from home. They seem to set up well and get the results, but at home they're struggling and they've got to attend that. They've got to start sorting the home form out. Otherwise, you know they might be left wanting at the end of the season. You know?
Always say it's tough, don't they? The first year when you come into
that league.
Tough league.
Got to get back up in the first year. After that, it's really difficult. Luton are a prime example. They were down for a long time, couldn't get back up. Well-supported team. We're getting about 8,000-9,000 at their games, but couldn't get back up. And it took them an eternity and a lot of managers to try and do it. Eventually got up there holding their own at the moment, Luton are. But Tranmere need to try and get up first time of asking.
OK, let's welcome our next caller to the Legends show. Dave Forster in Bromborough. Hiya, Dave.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Hello, pal. Are you red or a blue?
I'm a red.
Ah, well, all those here.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Sian. You all right, mate?
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, the thing I wanted to talk about last week, but there was no time, so he called me back tonight. You know all these injuries these players are getting?
Mm-hmm.
You remember when you were playing, okay, you were getting injuries, but not as many as nowadays. Don't you think a lot of it's down to the boots?
Well, we...
Notice metatarsals.
Yeah, we had the discussion this a few weeks ago, didn't we, Sharpie, about... obviously, if you see the boots of today, you know, you could wear them in the house as slippers.
Don't be, you know, I mean, my grandkids go out with one shoe the same colours or different colour than the other. You know,
yeah, no... It's whatever's comfortable. If it, as long as you can handle that, and if you've got pink boots on, you've got to be able to play well. Because if you're not, you're spotted very easily. Mike Vornan used to wear white boots, and it underlined a poor player. You know, and anyway, but the boots are so light. You know, when we played, the boots were very good, comfortable, weren't they? But You had a bit of solidity there. They protected you a little bit. These ones don't protect you. No. Not at all, you know. And it has to, you know, when you have the damaged feet and all that, certainly it has to come down somewhat, you know, to the boots. Because the boots we had, you know, had a little bit of protection. They don't seem to have this day and age. But I don't know. I don't know for sure, you know.
John, can I get on to Saturday's game?
Go ahead.
Absolutely brilliant performance, I thought, in the end. I say in the end because it started off and it looked like the Liverpool of old. But I'm sure Klopp now has got hold of them and he's told them what potential they've got, what they can do, but he wants work rate out of them. And you can see it. In the last three games, you can see that little bit extra they're pushing.
Yeah.
And this is what they haven't done for years. This is what they haven't been doing. They're fit men. You know, they can run and run and run like a stallion, and that's what they're doing at the moment. And Lucas, I've never seen Lucas play so well.
Well, the manager believes in him, doesn't he? You know, it's, I think under Brendan, Alan was probably his number one. With this manager, it's early days. He's having a look who's who and what's what. The slate's been, you know, swept clean. And Lucas had the first opportunity, and he's took it. You know, and he's keeping Alan out the side, and he has. I agree with you. He's been playing very well.
You think he was lucky to stay on, John, at the weekend?
No, it was a great tattle.
Yeah, what? but actually, come on, look at it without sort of blinkers on. Do you think that was? Do you understand the referee's decision?
With other referees, yeah, he could have seen red. Of course, he could have done. Yeah.
You know why I think that referee done that, John?
Go on.
Because of Mourinho and the Chelsea players, he brought Lucas over, and it looked like he was going to go for his card. And he's seen Mourinho on that line, and he's seen Teddy and Ramirez and the other clown. And he must have thought to himself, no, I'm not having this. And I thought he had a cracking game, the referee.
You would do. He played more time in the first half, and he should have sent Lucas off. He had a great game for Liverpool. I thought he was their best player.
I don't mind Classic Egg. He's all right.
Say, well, you played just today, now.
No, we were wrong. Hey, listen, don't be baffled by that. I thought we did okay, but they were terrible. Who's Sunderland's next game? Is it against Liverpool?
Hey, Sharpie. Is it? You can do them in your bet next week to get beat.
Let me tell you, somebody will, if they continue to do what they're doing, they will concede 7 and 8, I'll tell you.
They're at home. Yeah. They're home next week. After a good home performance with Newcastle, I don't know.
Oh, I'll tell you different, what, no.
Southampton at home, they've gone.
Is it Southampton at home? Yeah. I tell you, get your money on Southampton.
You can do that in your charity bet.
I'll tell you right now, I'm doing it.
What do you fancy in terms of where the season's going, Dave? Do you think they're showing the top four potential?
Well, four at the outside, I don't think anything else. But the thing is, with the passion he's got, and he has got passion, and that's what we've been needed. Okay, Brendan Rodgers, you could say, was a good manager, but he didn't have the passion, did he? You know, you need the passion, the likes of what Shanks had, like Paisley had, like Kenny had in a way. To manage Liverpool, you've got to have passion. It's a passionate club. And I honestly believe in him. I think he's got it. I mean, you've only got to see him run up and down that line, jumping up and down. You can tell he's loving it.
But listen, you see top four. Who would you say top four? And I'd say Arsenal and City are nailed on.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, they're going to get it.
Arsenal, I agree.
City, Arsenal, City nailed on. United, you'd probably say, will probably get there, but they're no great shakes.
No.
So then after
Leicester out at the moment, yeah, he's going to knock them off the top floor. The way
well, no, they will fall away.
Yeah, but so you're talking Arsenal and City definitely. United, you'd probably say, yeah, probably. So the space is here.
Yeah.
It's up for grabs, and there's no reason why.
Yeah,
they're
definitely
there.
No, I do agree. You know, Chelsea can still get there with the players, but they need a big shake-up.
They need a massive shake-up
and quickly. But yeah, it is. You know, it's not beyond. The one thing Liverpool and Evan, we had. I think the way the fixtures were cut out, it was horrendous. Ours was, and Evan's was really difficult as well. But after Man City, then with all due respect, we've got a lot of winnable games between now and the turnaround. And I think Evan's not far behind because they've nearly played all.
Yeah.
But every away game we've played against all top teams, plus Stoke, you know, and the turnaround next, it's in Liverpool's hands because all the teams in and around who's fighting for the top four, you have them at home, and you can't ask for nothing more. So as long as when we get the turnaround in December, we're in and around fourth, fifth, even sixth place, a few points behind. Mm-hmm. Then they've got a chance if we can turn our own form into the end. So he's got a chance of getting in there, yeah, of course.
Dave, good to talk to you. Thanks very much. Have a great Monday night.
Cheers, Dave.
Did you see those pictures of the Liverpool players dressed up as Halloween characters?
No.
They had some sort of Halloween party.
Did you guys ever have
Halloween parties as well as...
No.
No.
No, no, no. We just had Christmas parties that made up for every Halloween and bonfire night and everything.
Yeah. John's been in the break. He was organising what date we're going to have our social gathering.
Yeah.
More news on that to come very shortly.
I think it's a great gesture from Radio City and you in particular.
Yeah, taking us all out, free ale. And
John's social secretary this year.
I'm sure you'll get a restaurant that will help us out, take the cost. And,
we've got plenty of time to come. We've got plenty of time.
Some lovely restaurants in Liverpool town.
We announced the big date and venue. Okay, a couple more minutes before we get to the break. 0151 472 0967. And let's talk with the Blue. It's Mike, who's in Frodsham. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks very much. Hi, Graham.
Hi,
Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, you okay, John? Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I applaud Laura for her positivity. Fair dues.
Yeah.
However, I'm a bit more half glass full, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
We've gone out and put six past Sunderland, but when you look at the fixture list, you know, and where they are in the league, you should be putting six past them, and everybody else should be putting six past them. When you look back at, you know, some of our results, you know, apart from Chelsea, we're struggling to beat top four teams. You know, I really like the manager. I think he's great. He comes across really well in his interviews. He speaks very eloquently. But is he a top four manager for Everton Football Club? I don't really know, to be honest with you.
Well, Mike, I think you could see that, you know, was David Moyes as well. It's not easy to get that top four. You know, you've got to remember, it's not easy. David Moyes got it once, I think. So it's really difficult to get into that top four.
The money that I've spent compared to the other clubs, dear me.
Exactly, and John's just right there, Mike, as well. You know, to get in that top four, you need to spend money. You know, and I don't think he spent, you know, obsessively, Roberto Martinez. But what he'll do is he'll try and organise his team. The worrying thing for me is, you know, I still think that we're... over elaborate at times. You know, at times I think with Evertonians as well, I think they like to see the ball going in the box quicker, you know, getting up the field quicker. And I think we're a little bit slow at times. I thought we played better yesterday, but against a real, real poor opposition. I think we need a settled side. I was surprised, I said to Laura as well, I don't know about you, I was surprised that young Galloway was dropped yesterday.
Yeah, he's been outstanding since he came on. You know, I was at the Norwich game, and
yeah,
I felt really sorry for was it Titus Browning? Titus Browning. It looked to me like the manager had said, if you go across that halfway line, you're getting sacked in the morning. Because the lad, you know, Stones, he was asking him to go. We were missing that cutting edge down the wing. Coleman would have been off like a shot. Bainesy would have been up there. I just felt really sorry. He just looked, you know, a little bit out of his sorts.
No, well, Mike, to be, I'll be honest with you there about the manager. The manager would never do that. The manager is always one who wants his players to go and express themselves. So he wouldn't give instructions at Tyus not to go over there. What he would want Tyus to do is to go and join in. You know, I think Tyus... Yes. Is done well in his appearances. He's probably more of a centre back, and he doesn't give you the mobility of Seamus going forward. So the manager would always express his young players to go and play. But what I'm thinking is, you know, maybe Sunday might be the catalyst to say get your confidence back in terms of going forward. And I thought going forward at times were good, but they were poor. Don't get me wrong, but I just think that, you know, top four. As I said to the previous caller, to John and to Steve here as well, it's up for grabs. Now, hopefully we can get, you know, a lot of confidence from the result on Saturday and go on. West Ham has been a lucky ground for us. Okay, they're a lot better under Bilic, but it's been a lucky... If we can get a result at West Ham, you just never know. The confidence comes back in the players, it comes back with the fans as well, and you just don't know what's going to happen this season. You honestly don't.
A couple of results and you're up there, aren't you? A couple of good results and you're up there. I mean... You know, I'm a bit older than Laura. I'm sorry to hop on Laura, but, you know, watching Everton's like being on a roller coaster, to be fair. You know, all the years you watch them and you're up and you're down and you plateau out and you're back up and down. And that's why we support them and love them.
Yeah, mate, and this is the season where everybody's beating everybody. You just don't know. You know, Liverpool, who started the season slowly, all of a sudden with a new manager, it's just kind of clicked a little bit. All it needs is something just to spark your season. And I just hope that result... yesterday will give belief to not only the supporters, to the players as well, because the players need help. The players don't like being on the end of criticism, you know, every home game and scared to make a mistake. So it was good to see the goals going in yesterday, and as I said, hopefully the confidence of the players will have been done the world of good with that result.
Look, Mike, your glass was half full when you rang up. Now it's full.
Yeah,
Sharpie's filled it to the top.
Yeah, it is.
It's overflowing.
Champions League, here we come.
Thanks, pal. Thanks for getting involved. That was Mike in Frodsham. We're going to take another short break here. Wasn't just our football teams that was winners at the weekend. Might happen to be a couple of pundits. Well, one of them's close to being a winner. The other one was a winner in the charity bet. Stay right here to find out on the Legends.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Okay, welcome back to the show. 16 minutes past 7 o'clock and the boys are anxiously looking up towards the Sky Sports screen to their left-hand side because, let me just go through this. I wasn't here on Friday, but there seemed to be an absolute windfall of charity bets coming in. We'll start with Aldo, who went for Manchester City to beat Norwich, Derby to beat Rotherham and Wigan to beat Swindon. All three came off.
Last minute. I thought I was watching soccer Saturday on Saturday. I thought Wigan's let me... And I even done him in my bet, Wigan. And next minute he said, late goal. I went...
6 minutes overtime.
Yeah, get in.
Love overtime this weekend, don't you?
Have that. Sky Bet will be happy. That furthers the kitty. The Chancellor in the other room, Big Dave, says your kitty is now on.
Yeah.
60 before this weekend.
Oh, that's before this.
Before this weekend, it was on 600.
Before this weekend, so about 750, isn't it?
It's good. It's all for charity.
Like
it's all
that,
for charity.
So all right.
Alan Irwin picked three winners. He was in the hot seat: Burnley, Borough, Bury. But Sharpie went for Manchester City.
Yeah.
Burnley.
Yes.
And the big Spurs tonight. Spurs to beat Aston Villa.
I've just looked at Villa's team, and I'm happy we've gone for Tottenham.
Why is that?
Hutton at right back. Lescott, centre back, no Micah Richards, so Tottenham have got to win that.
My private bet, I'm looking for Tottenham tonight to win that one, and I think they will. But the thing is, Villa have got a new man. Kevin McDonald, who's an old friend of mine, Liverpool colleague, and he's back for his second stint there. He done well when he went in last time, didn't he? Yeah. He rallied them round a little bit, Mackie. So sometimes it does make a little bit of a difference, but I'm with Sharpie. I think Tottenham will have too much for them.
You wouldn't be cashing out on your bet if you had the chance in Sharpie.
Oh, yeah, we'd be.
Well, what about this Remy Gard guy that's been brought in? He's got a great win ratio with Lyon. But as we've seen so many times, he's come from different leagues.
Yeah.
Often it doesn't mean anything, does it?
And let me tell you, that is a difficult job. That ain't an easy job. He ain't going in there and produce miracles. I'd be very, very surprised if he does. I think he's got problems here. I think the squad of players ain't good enough. It's a massive club. Massive club. But I don't think he's going to get any money to strengthen the team. He signed 3.5 years. I'm going to ask Dale Tempest on Friday, what's the odds of him seeing that out?
Well, the odds aren't likely in any
what's the odds of
days?
Him signing a 3.5 year contract? What are the odds that he doesn't see that out? I think that's a really, really tough job. I talked to a few people over the weekend as well. They seem to think that would have been a perfect fit for Moyes. I'm not sure, but they seem to think that would have been a perfect fit for Moyes.
Aston Villa played 10, 4 points. Sunderland, who you berated heavily, played 11, 6 points. Newcastle played 11, 7 points.
Newcastle
Bournemouth
got out of it.
Played 11, 8 points. Bournemouth are getting sucked in there, won't they?
Yeah, they're starting to get sucked in now, aren't they? Right, great win for Watford at the weekend, by the way, weren't they?
Yeah,
couldn't see that coming. Mm.
Let's fire you some of these. These have come from the tweets and the texts. David McGull, Martinez needs to decide on his best team and stick with it. Would you go with that with Sharpie?
Yeah, I would. As it happened, I think that's the case. I agree with him.
Too much mixing and matching. Will from Toxteth, do you think Lukaku plays better alongside Kone?
I think he plays better with somebody up there alongside him, whether it be Kone, Naismith or whatever, but certainly Kone. Yeah.
Who's your preference, Sharpie?
I think if you get a fully fit Kone, I think he's a starter. A fully fit Kone.
Okay, Mark in Heswell, does Coutinho... We need Coutinho to stay in form now, Aldo.
I was only talking last Friday and I said, you know, he's lucky to still be in the team, because if there's someone banging on the door, you know, he might have been rested. You know, thank God that wasn't the case on Saturday, because he came up trumps. But you know, he needs to get his confidence back, because sure, he just didn't look happy on the pitch, but Saturday he did, and he got his couple of goals, and I just hope he can kick on from here. Yeah.
And before we get to Robbie, who's on the line waiting, Sarah and Netherton talking about Firmino's best position. Is that really his best position, in the centre?
I haven't seen that much of him. People are saying it's in behind the main striker. I think he's got the option of him and Coutinho to have a look. Coutinho can play on the left, you know, as well. Firmino can play on the right or whatever. So, don't know. It's going to be interesting when Daniel Sturridge is fit, what he's actually going to do. I can't wait to see what he's going to do.
Because that won't be a box for a while, will it? I saw a report today saying it's going to be after the international break, whether that's true or not.
Well, they're better off leaving it till the afternoon, till the break. They're better off to wrap them up in cotton wool. I don't know, but it'll be interesting what he does if he keeps him fit.
Well, let's get a word from Robbie, who could be our last caller on the Legends this evening in West Derby. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, John. Hi, Aldo.
Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Sharpie.
Hi, Robbie.
Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem.
Just hope I don't leave your speeches like I did last time, Aldo. You know?
Go on.
I just want to firstly talk about Brendan Rodgers very, very briefly. You know, I think the time was right for Brendan to go, but he tried his best, but unfortunately for us, his best wasn't good enough, you know. And in looking at Klopp coming in, you know, in some ways, I'm glad that we didn't start off with win, you know, because the expectations and the way the fans would have reacted to that, oh, we've got the Messiah, we've got this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, it's early days, so in some ways, I'm a little bit grateful for a couple of draws, you know.
Yeah.
And looking at the comparison, you know, to the pressing game we're playing now, when we were playing the pressing game under Brendan Rodgers, we seemed to taper out after about 60 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
We started to lose a little bit of lungs, and you know. Mm-hmm. And this time, there's a difference, you know, we're still pressing, we're pressing all game. But we seem to have a lot more possession, so you're not using as much energy.
Yeah,
you know,
good point.
Conserving a lot of stuff, which then allows players to have a little bit in them. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think confidence has grown. You know, I look at Sacco. I'm a great fan of Sacco, but I take a lot of stick for it. You know,
it's funny one with Sacco, because people have made their mind up against him. You can see what a player is inside, but all of a sudden he'll do something mad in the game and lose his concentration. But he's doing that less and less and less, and all of a sudden you're getting this player flourishing and showing, yeah, you know, what he can be and down the line, because he's got every attribute that you want. Big, strong, yeah, you know, yeah, he's good at the ball. He's a great passer of ball for a centre-half. You know, so just need a few more goals from him. But I'm with you. I've always liked Sacco, but sometimes you just go, does something which you can't believe, you know. But having said that, he's getting better.
Robbie, have you last say? Close the show with something magnificent.
I'm gonna talk about what Aldo just said there. We could do with some more goals for him. Firstly, we need to put the ball in the box, because I've never seen so many footballers, including Steven Gerrard, not being able to put a ball into the box. You know, we never seem to be able to beat the first man. Yeah. What about putting? We've got a few big players there now.
You're talking about corners as well, aren't you?
Corners, yeah. Talking about corners. You know, if you're gonna have Sacco, Benteke, and Skirtle up there, let's put the ball in the box and
great
give them
point.
A little bit of a chance.
It's a great point that to finish on, because everyone's berating that. You know, and the social media said Liverpool's corners are.
I think that's not just Liverpool. I think you could go through all the teams in the Premier League, and I think the supporters will say the same thing. Get the ball in the box.
All right, when you play and you're a manager, you just told, and even when we were out in the wide parts, we were told to miss the first man, put it in a dangerous area, and someone attacked the ball.
Exactly.
Wasn't it?
Simple.
Great stuff. And we'll finish on that. Thanks, Robbie. Just had to fade you down there. We'll get you back on the future show. Thanks for joining us this evening on The Legends. West Ham Everton, Saturday, 3 p.m. Liverpool against Palace, Sunday at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock kickoff. So two big games to look forward to at the weekend. We, of course, will be back with the Radio City Legends on Friday evening from 6:30. Join us then.